Wall Street biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Friday, October 1st, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Late show, late start. Going to be a shorter one, but it's going to be an important one. There's lots to get into that the natural immunity conversation that we keep just knocking down. It's amazing to me, and I said this more than once, obviously, but it's absolutely amazing to me how transparent all this is, to the point to where we now even have mainstream entities, not just scientific publications, but even people within the mainstream media that are seemingly beginning to poke holes in what's going on. In fact, today, we're going to show you during one of the briefings, where even a USA Today journalist, if you want to call them that, I mean, I shouldn't even say that because the question was it's a fantastic question. I just am so, you know me, pessimistic and jaded about the mainstream media. But it was an on-the-point question, and it's amazing to watch how he not only doesn't even come close to touching the question, but dives directly into the narrative, and nobody follows up with anything. It's obvious what's happening, and it's a choice to go along with it. And I'm not saying that means everything I think that I've been saying or I think that is happening is happening. I'm just simply saying that we're being lied to. And if you can't acknowledge in some degree we're being lied to around this narrative, then it's infantile. I mean, it's naive to the highest degree, in my opinion, because it's just that obvious. Now, we're going to get into censorship to start off. A couple quick points. You may not have seen that Ron Paul's channel was also just removed from Facebook, or excuse me, from YouTube. There's also somebody else I want to make a comment on. It's unfortunate to see anybody censored at this point because censorship is wrong. But we're also going to talk about the British Medical Journal, yet again, being one of the shining lights in this whole thing, coming out again. Most of these we pointed out are Peter Doshi, who is in fact the senior editor of the British Medical Journal, coming out and challenging everything they're saying. And of course, they just pretend like it's not happening because you can't call him a fake news conspiracy theorist. And today we're going to talk about a journalist who was published on the British Medical Journal calling all of this out around natural immunity. Also around the pregnancy discussion, which is just unnerving to me, how obviously they're driving this home to get the pregnant women vaccinated is all at all costs, even though the FDA still says there's not enough data to make it to say that it's safe, that we don't even know one way or the other. And now we've got more information that we're going to point to coming from the CDC, but I'm going to show you how Walensky points to it and says safe and effective, except that's not at all what it says. And we'll point to it and show you what it says. And then we'll be censored as fake news because that's how the world works today. We're going to finish off with some obvious points about where we really are. But let's start off with the censorship because it's just unaccountable. I mean, that's what this is. Censorship is. That's what these governments are. But this is just really crazy to see of all people. Unaccountable censorship driven by corporate and government entities, really one and the same, which is what we should remember. This is authoritarianism, guys. That's what this is. This is quite literally counter to what we claim this society represents. Not this government, not this country, this society. This is absolute authoritarianism. Here's what Ron Paul has to say. Very shocked. I mean, I don't think he's actually that shocked. He's been pointing this out for a long time, but he says very shocked that YouTube I would say he's probably shocked because of how they did it, has completely removed the channel of Ron Paul Institute. No warning, no strikes, no evidence. Now that is actually pretty crazy. They even argue that there's a process to this, even though they lie and cheat and don't give you reasons and don't give you a process or the illusion of a process. But they just come out hot and go after Ron Paul and just pull the channel because they were just given the allowance to do so, right? We're going to just remove anything we even remotely feel is kind of misinformation, and then tomorrow that'll show to be, turn out to be true. But they don't circle back and put people's channels back on their platforms. It's not about the truth or the data or even that one point. It's about getting people like Ron Paul and myself out of the way. They want to be able to scream at these people and let them just gobble up what they say as the absolute total truth from top to bottom, even though there's, 95% of the story left out there. No strikes, no evidence, no accountability. only explanation was severe and repeated violations of our community guidelines. Right. Repeated violations, except no strikes, no evidence, no warnings. But repeated, of course. Channel is rarely used, even. The appeal was automatically rejected. Exactly. Right. The appeal process that's supposed to take super long now because COVID, we're all super behind. Mine, of course, take 6 months to find out that it's still going to be, of course, boom, boom, right back, rejected. Magically took that, of course, because that was the point. This is unreal. Maybe somebody in Ron Paul's position, he might end up getting his channel back. That seems to happen in somebody's status, you know, when they're really, really, really well known, if they can pull just enough strings, which most people don't have the ability to do. But this is crazy. Not unexpected, but just increasingly crazy. Now, Ron Placone was also recently censored, and that's unfortunate. You know, Ron Placone, I don't know why I'm having trouble saying his name right now. Ron Placone has always struck me as somebody who is a good person. He seems like he's trying to do the right thing out there in the world. I believe he's off base in regard to COVID-19, as many of these people are. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know the person. I don't know him personally, never met him. But just gut instinct, that's what it looks like to me. Could be wrong. But he, in my opinion, has been dramatically wrong, as many of them have in their circles around COVID-19. Even as Jimmy seems to be beginning to kind of carefully talk about the things that we've been screaming about for a year and a half, which is fantastic. Get it out there. So a lot of people, even in his circles, have kind of been going even the other direction. But anyway, that's not the point here. The point is that he was also just censored. It started like this. This is what I see. Woke up to find out my GoFundMe was suspended. GoFundMe was suspended. That's crazy. I mean, he's not even really, as far as I can tell, I don't even think at all diving into this conversation. He's going after foreign policy in good ways, too. Pointing out the government and the lies in a partisan kind of way. That's just my opinion. But nonetheless, pointing out that the government's lying to you and blah, blah, blah. Stuff we've always been screaming about that we should be talking about. And they remove his GoFundMe that I believe was about if I'm seeing this correctly, was not even necessarily about most of his work, but more so about this video he was doing. It was like a comedy thing. But the fact that they could pull a GoFundMe, suspend a GoFundMe of all people from him, that's crazy to me. I think it's because he's getting caught in some kind of wide net around what's going on today. Had cam issues while trying to start the stream, get tech sorted, locked out of his YouTube account. Just crazy. And then it comes down to the point he will not be able to do the stream because he's been locked out. He's being censored. What I want to make the point here, guys, is that even somebody like this, who is kind of, in my opinion, playing it safe in a certain in COVID, because clearly they know they're going to be censored. Maybe it's because he just doesn't agree with what was said. Certainly just part of it. But even still, he's being censored right now. Now, that could be because he's saying, you know, the things you're not supposed to say in regard to foreign policy, and just continues to show you that the more they become unaccountable, the more they become authoritarian, they're just going to start knocking anybody out of the way that does not say what they're supposed to say. Whether you're on this side, that side, doesn't matter. Go vax, pro-vax, go mask, doesn't matter. We just need to see this, guys. We're all on the same side. It's damn time for us to realize that. Finally, one last point on censorship. Orwell shared this with me. This is actually crazy. This is, I don't know if this is meant to be kind of a parody. I almost want to give the Wayback Machine sort of like a high five here, because it's like they're pointing out what's going to happen. I think that must make sense to me, because the Wayback Machine has always sort of been like a stick in the spokes, a little thorn in their side, showing you things they don't want you to see that are supposed to be gone. Someone in the chat saying Ron Placone is, I don't know what is my problem with his name, Placone, Ron Placone. Oh, that's crazy. That he's pro-vax, which that was kind of my point, right? They're on the side of this kind of narrative or whatever, but the bottom line is that he's still being censored. I think that's crazy for other things seemingly unrelated to this. But to this point, the Wayback Machine has been doing, you know, great work, in my opinion. These archive sites are hanging on to a lot of things that we don't get to keep because they want to censor them, or previously didn't get to keep because they removed them. So now this person comes out and says, hey, and this is the person that is involved with the Wayback Machine, I guess, the open source world, open source search and social media. Now they're putting out the Way Forward Machine. At first I was like, is this a joke? Apparently not. So first of all, this is interesting. Here's what Orwell saw when she looked at my website on the Way Forward Machine. Says, oh, look at this, verified ID documents required. Well, that'll never happen on my site, but this is what they're saying is going to be the future, right? Whoa there, authorized required beyond this point. Here's what it says, classified content. Okay, so interesting, kind of a joke, but here's what I'm seeing when I go to look at this site, then I'll show you more so what this really is. This is supposedly what they're saying is, look, this is a glimpse into the future. This is what this site will look like 25 years in the future. Look what it says. The content owner has made this content unavailable for your political block. The copyright in this material has been extended for 2,200 years. Look at this down here. The site has been temporarily suspended pending an outcome of legal proceedings. Like, this isn't supposed to be a joke, right? This business no longer exists. The website you're trying to access was either no longer able to comply with or found to be in breach of the new regulations brought in by the 2029 Monopolies Commission. Like, I genuinely think this is the Wayback Machine trying to send a message. This is what our future will look like, guys. And maybe because I won't be around, maybe this site has now been taken from somebody else that's taking control of it and trying to act like, you know, the sort of the way we've seen things go. Because this is what's going to happen when you allow a technocratic control structure to take over your world under a guise of fighting for your health. That's where this will go. This is really alarming, actually. Not because I think this is like exactly what's going to happen, but because everybody can see where we're going. And we're all just pretending like it's for our best interest if you want to go along with what they're saying. It's baffling to me. But good on them for doing this. Have fun with this. Take a look at it. You know, go in and check out websites, type in whatever you want. Let's see what this looks like. Google.com. Let's see. Or maybe not. Okay, there it goes. Let's look at this while it's loading. Finally, last point. Jumping into COVID-19, I want us to think about how crazy it is that we're looking at tweets today or comments or just posts, even the mainstream media, where you look at it and go, is this fake? Like, is this a parody? And the fact that we have to ask that, as Viva Frey is asking, is this a parody account? And the fact that we genuinely don't know speaks volumes. For the podcast, here's what this says. This is Dr. Terry McDouglas. PhD, it says. New Zealand. My wife and I were just discussing via text what our household guest policy will be. We agreed that to enter our house, you must have 2 negative COVID tests in the last 24 hours, 1 PCR and 1 rapid antigen for reliability. I'd encourage you to discuss your COVID guest plans. Now, I think this is a parody account. The whole thing, if you look at it, was just recently made. But what's crazy is that almost everybody that is sharing this is going, yay, you're the doctor. We agree. We should be. So either way, people buy this. And I think what the point still is that we don't know for sure. Could this be a parody? Yes. Could it be real? Yes. And that blows my mind how backward and broken we are right now, that kind of an absurd comment can be taken seriously today. That you would need 2 COVID tests in the same 24-hour period, along with 1 PCR and rapid antigen test, just to go to this person's house. You know how much it would even cost and the effort it would take to get all that done within a 24-hour period? That's why I'm pretty sure this is a joke. But regardless, people took it seriously and are sharing this like, yes, finally, there's some sane. I'm not joking. It blows me away. Now, back to this. Oh, look at that. Site temporarily unavailable for your own good. Ministry of Truth. So clearly this is the Way Forward Machine trying to send you a message, guys. This site contains information that is currently classified. My guess is this is not about Google or whatever else you enter in. It's whatever site you enter in, you're going to get this kind of compilation of messages saying, oh, no, you don't get to look at that truth because you're not allowed to or whatever. Thought crime in your region. Look, clearly, good on them. I want to give them a shout out right now. The Wayback Machine clearly taking a stand and saying, if we don't do something now, you're headed for the Ministry of Truth. Thought crime. That's your future. Good for them. Good for them. I wasn't sure until I just saw this one because it's new every time, or little variations. Now, bringing this into the COVID-19 conversation. The White House briefings are just riddled with misinformation and absolute lies. Constantly. It's very frustrating. I actually even stopped watching these for a long time now because my entire show would be walking. And you've seen them. You've seen my shows in the past where that's the case. Pompeo I got to a point to where it's like, look, I can't watch these 3-hour briefings, piece them apart because everything they say is a lie and I can't put it away. If I see them lie, I'm like, oh, I got to point that out. And so I kind of stopped watching them. My brother and other people will send me these and go, look, you got to talk about that. And when they do, I go, you're right. That's a lie. I got to talk about it. But it's almost frustrating because it's meaning that we all somehow know that they get up here to feed you what they want you to think. And 9 times out of 10, probably 11 times out of 10, it's a lie and it's misinformation or it's a sidestep. So it's irritating. But let's walk through some of these points because there are some important things to make here. But before we do that, I wanted to show you a quick point on the White House page for YouTube. Now, note, anyone that has a YouTube channel will know this. Also note how, by the way, how it says an error occurred. Oh, weird, an error occurred. Strange. No, it's only me because I'm completely blacklisted on everything YouTube unless I use a private page. And if I do right now, that'll be normal. Just so you know, as you've seen many times, that's called petty childish actions because they're trying to like just block me. If you don't want me to use block, don't anyway. It's hilarious. They're just children over there. But no, anyone who uses a YouTube channel, any channel for that matter, knows that you can align your playlist in organization from newest to oldest and so on. And you'll note that every single playlist on their channel, every one of them, will start with the newest. 1 week ago, 2 weeks ago, right? Which, because that's what you normally do. Otherwise, it gets buried at the bottom and all you see is the oldest one at the front. Every one of them, 2 months, 2 months, 2 months, 3 months, right? You can see that they're old, the newest up front on every single playlist. Guess what, though? Except the COVID briefings. Isn't that weird? Oh, weird. Their last one was 7 months ago. Oh, I wonder where to look. Except that's not the truth. Because if you actually look at the briefings and you'll find that, oh, isn't that strange? That's the only one they have reversed. And their newest briefings are all the way at the bottom. So you'd assume you'd look at it and go, oh, there's no new briefings. Except there are. I wonder why they do that. Probably because they know they're riddled with lies and misinformation. Just my opinion, though. But let's get into it. I'm just going to show you a couple points. Just a couple, because I can't, the more I get into this, I'll keep finding things to point out. The vax versus unvaxxed illusion is just so damn apparent. Now here, let me actually, I think there was something he said in here, maybe not. Just the picture is enough, but let's listen to what he has to say real quick.
This is just one bit of data among many from a variety of local locations throughout the country. In this case, it's from Public Health Seattle and King County.
So just so we're clear, this is from one county, right? So they're showing you this to represent the reality of the situation from one county.
This is COVID-19 data over the past 30 days, essentially Delta data.
Good morning.
Oh, son of a gun. That's frustrating. Hold on. Hit the wrong button.
Health Seattle and King County.
There you go.
This is COVID-19 data over the past 30 days.
What I was pausing it to say was the Delta variant, right? The Delta variant that they're telling you is basically vaccine resistant. Like there's studies that are going back and forth, but we've seen more than one that's saying at this point, we saw this way back in Israel when Israel was spiking with all this, they're telling you. I mean, it's basically down to zero, right? So, but get the injection because it'll protect you, even though it doesn't protect you against the thing we're telling you is everywhere right now. One of those many contradictions in their narrative.
Essentially Delta data. People who are not fully vaccinated
fully
are 8 times more likely to test positive, 41 times more likely to be hospitalized, and 57 times more likely to die.
Okay, now here's the thing. I'm not going to go into this as deep as I have before because I've done it 100 times. What we're going to point out right here is the very basic reality of the most obvious illusion around this one argument. We could go into so many examples, PCR, false positives, which we'll touch on. But the simple definition of fully vaccinated. Looks like Super U is not working. That's fantastic. Maybe it is. Okay, well, someone just told me it wasn't, and it looks like it is. Great. Let's keep going. So, well, I mean, probably not working for some people, which is unfortunate. I apologize for those out there that Super U is not working for. If it's not working, please reach out to Super U and let them know so it can improve. Now, the point here is that the definition alone of this, there's just the concept of fully vaccinated, because you'll note they've shifted this. I'll make this point again in a minute as we go through that what we're talking about is they fully vaccinated versus everything else. Whereas in the beginning, as we've seen before, there was a category on the CDC, especially in regard to the multiple ways they display this stuff as partially or as one dose or something like this. And I'll show you this specifically and how they've removed it now. Oh, that's what it was. The main point, and we'll come back to this on things like this. Do you remember when we first used to talk about this in the beginning? I kept showing you that it was more than 50% of the country, right? This is Scotland. I'll show you that in a minute, why that matters. But the United States, we kept showing you, remember? And we kept showing you that it was fully vaccinated. And then what did they give you? They gave you fully, they gave you partial. Do you remember? I probably showed that 50 times on the up until it went past 50 or below 50 rather. Now, isn't it interesting that it's not there? So why don't they include the partially vaccinated anymore? Why do they only show the fully and they leave it out? Well, because partially vaccinated just became unvaccinated. Simple as that. Another definition change. Suddenly, partially vaccinated is considered unvaccinated. And that's what we're talking about today. And that's what we've talked about many times so far. So when they're telling you that people who are not fully vaccinated are 8 times more likely, people who aren't fully vaccinated are 41, that at the very least includes those who have already gotten one injection or two and haven't reached 14 days after that second shot. And I'll prove that to you right now if you don't believe that. That on top of that, includes after 3 months to 6 months, depending on where you are in the world, you're also then considered unvaccinated after those two shots. And then again, after the third, if you have a certain period of time after the third or the fourth or the fifth, this is Israel we're talking about, but it's also starting to happen here. Regardless, there's a very small period of time where you are considered fully vaccinated. And that is according to their own definitions, and I'll show you next. But before we do that, recognize something very clear. That what we're talking about here are the people who are unvaccinated, who they're claiming are all in danger here, but we are completely ignoring the natural immunity, the false positives, everything else we'll touch on briefly next, which at the very least adds a caveat to that argument. But then you've got this huge category of people who are either with one injection for 13, you know, under 14 days after their two injections, or 3 to 6 months after two injections, or same period after the third injection. That's all being included in these numbers. Now, what are we adding in here? Increased risk. We're adding adverse events, spreading of the spike protein, vaccine-induced thrombocytopenia, blood clots, Bell's palsy, myocarditis, all of these things that they're admitting to. That's being added on top of that. If they get it, and whether or not they call it COVID-19 or something else, it's going down as an unvaccinated. This is not hard to understand. So if you're adding something that increased risks, and then you have this weird caveat that allows people even with those shots to be able to go down as unvaccinated, it's clear what's happening. You're giving people things that increase their risk, and then you're adding that risk onto the unvaccinated side of the argument. Now, are there unvaccinated people that are getting hurt by something that's sure. There's no way I could possibly know everything happening everywhere. But the reality shows you based on, and this is the point I always make, arguing from within their narrative. They're telling us, based on all the scientific research that, and we'll get into this next, natural immunity is longer lasting, more durable, more robust, and more all-encompassing than anything that injection is doing. And even the British Medical Journal just went to town calling that out. So, if half the country or more has that, and we've got the false positive, everything else on top of that, it seems pretty clear that what's going on. Oh, and by the way, also this part of it, right?
Lower of the Pfizer vaccine, those who've had two doses have about 5 to 6 fold lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies.
Right. So if you got the Pfizer injection or any of these mRNAs, you have 5 to 6 times lower antibodies. I mean, there's just so much of this that makes it ridiculous than what they're arguing. Anyway, let's get to the cut to the chase here. So we're staring at these arguments, and this is the vax versus unvax, the pandemic of the unvaccinated, right? Here's where he's pulling this from. And I want to reiterate, this is one county. Talk about cherry picking, right? But regardless of that, here's their data. Okay. And this is all they give you, by the way. Data sources, COVID-19 outcomes and immunizations data from the Washington Department of Health. Definitions. Fully vaccinated individuals. Individuals who've received their last recommended dose of a COVID-19 vaccine and have had at least 14 days to establish protection. So meaning anybody in that time period before that 14th day is unvaccinated. That's how it's going down. That's how they're writing it out. And I've shown you this in regard to specifically unvaccinated versus fully vaccinated. But also, you can see it right here on their doc, right, what they're talking about. It's just fully vaccinated are this people who are not fully vaccinated, which clearly includes one shot or two before fully vaccinated. I mean, there's no way to misunderstand what they're saying. That's very clear. So anybody in that time frame is not fully vaccinated, therefore in that risk category, right? Fully vaccinated cases include only individuals who have tested positive for COVID-19 at least 14 days after they completed their vaccination series. Not fully vaccinated individuals are people who have not received any vaccine doses, individuals who have started their vaccine series, and individuals who have completed their vaccination series within the past 14 days. Right? So you're still considered not fully vaccinated. Residents not currently eligible are considered not fully vaccinated. Literally everybody everywhere is not fully vaccinated unless they are within this month and a quarter period. That's ridiculous. How do you not see how that can be gamed, manipulated, lied about? It's just, I mean, you look at everything else that's happened. The CDC getting caught lying about periods of time where they're arguing that it's all the unvaccinated, except they took the data from a period of time when nobody was vaccinated. Like, it's an obvious game with their data. Or hiding 111,000 breakthrough cases from months ago that Bloomberg exposed and that they still haven't admitted to. It's just a choice to take this stuff at face value, guys. Now, regardless, going back to what they're saying, this is just the same data, the same statistic. It's what they're showing you here, right? It's exactly the same. This is what they're arguing. So we don't get to know how many people within that data are in fact partially or fully vaccinated, but not 14 days afterward. And they're being counted as everybody else. And they're being told in the media that that's the unvaccinated, the pandemic of the unvaccinated. I'm strongly of the belief, my opinion, based on the data, that the problem is coming from the people that are taking this after natural immunity. And this is just the one that the easiest to pull up on the top of my head. This is just one of them. And we're going to get to another part of this showing you that right now the shots they're giving that are based on the original strain, which is the point, and they're telling you it's Delta that's out there, that is leading to antibody dependent enhancement. This is the Journal of Infection. This is from August 9th. Very clearly. These infection enhancing antibodies, it says right here, where was it? Oh, of course, now I can't find it. That is really strange. I thought it was right there in the beginning. Anyway, it says it right at the top. I don't know why I can't find that. Oh, it's right in front of me. Good Lord. ADE may be a concern for people receiving vaccines based on original spikes. You know, basically any vaccine based on the original spike sequence from the Wuhan strain, they call it, which is every one of these things, and you come in contact with the Delta, which is what they're telling you is everywhere, that is increasing your risk. This is what this study is saying. Very, very, very clear. So you're having a population who has natural immunity in some cases, half the, at the very least, based on what the CDC is saying. Then you give them an injection that increases their risk. Now, the people that don't have it are getting the injection anyway, or don't have natural immunity, getting the injection and then just having possible side effects, which they admit are happening. Right? So it's pretty obvious that this is being created. Or at the very least, capable of making that the case. And yet we're just trusting people that have already been caught lying to us. Now, here's another example of the manipulation. It's amazing the mental gymnastics that are taking place. This is from the BBC 7 days ago, COVID-19 in Wales. A third of positive cases are unvaccinated. I believe I saw this shared by Highwire for Del Bigtree. A third of positive cases. Okay. So you walk away going, man, so doesn't that imply, as Del pointed out, that then two thirds are vaccinated? Yeah, because there's only two categories we're talking about here. So first point, if what they're saying is it's totally expected that two thirds would be vaccinated because there's mostly vaccinated who are blah, 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 right? They keep saying this. Okay, I don't agree with that. But if that's your argument, how then can the reverse be the headline? Because doesn't that mean that it's not relevant if it's just simply because of the certain... Of course, if one's not a headline, the other shouldn't be. But the point is they're pointing at what they want you to see. Oh, a third of them are unvaccinated. Well, yeah, two thirds are vaccinated. But that part doesn't count. It's just ridiculous. But here's the real point. It says nearly 13% of hospital patients with confirmed COVID were unvaccinated. Okay, so we've established they're talking about a category of people with confirmed COVID. 13% of them were unvaccinated. Do you hear what the rest of that sentence should say? Well, the other 87% were vaccinated because they're confirmed COVID cases. They can only be unvaccinated or vaccinated. So we have 87% of people in this hospital with vaccine, they've already been injected. Okay, so that very clearly shows you the illusion of it reduces your hospitalization. That's my opinion. It says, although 80% of patients have been double dosed with the injections, public health officials said this is not evidence the vaccine is not working, and that vaccines keep 95% of people out of the hospital. You just reported that 87% of people in this one location are vaccinated. I mean, this is just blowing my mind how stupid this is. So let's just take this from a percentage. Like, you're literally saying, let's just say it's 10 people we're talking about. 87, that amounts to almost 9 of them, right? So if you're talking about a percentage concept here and you're telling me that 95% of people will stay out of the hospital, yet we're pointing at 90% almost of the people in this small category are in the hospital, that's at the very least not true. You could argue that there may be still, I just don't believe anything they're saying in regard to how it's, you have a benefit here based on all the science I'm looking at from the people they're telling us to trust, they're ignoring. But that statistic shows you right there that that's not true. But here's what they say to follow up. The sheer numbers of people vaccinated, and this is the same argument they keep making, nearly 95% of those over 60 and 84% of those under 60 mean that statistically double vaccinated people will still be a significant portion of hospital pay. What? But without the vaccine, those hospital numbers would be even higher. So, don't you love that? Well, I guess we'll just take your word for that. Trust me, you'd be more sick if you didn't take the injection. Well, I guess we'll have to take your word for that. But let's think about this for a second. Didn't we just say that this thing is like dramatic, it's rare, that if you get the injection, the odds of you dying or being in the hospital are just like almost non-existent, that it's so, you're not 100% effective, we heard before, right? But now we're saying, but the majority of people in the hospital are double vaccinated. Why? Because the majority of people are injected? Why does that translate if you're telling us that the risk of being hospitalized if you're double injected is wildly low? Somebody's saying it's buffering in there. I hope you didn't. If it was and we missed something, let me know where it cut out. I'll try to revisit the point. But this is a really important thing to take away. They're literally admitting to you that 87% of the patients in the hospital are vaccinated. In the hospital. Meaning that they're there because they're severe enough to be admitted to the hospital. That in and of itself undermines their entire point. But for them to come down here and admit to you nearly 95% of those, you know, the point that most of the people in the hospital, most are vaccinated, it just simply making sure, okay, looks like it's working for everybody now. I don't know, it just continues to show you that this is a lie. I mean, I actually should get some kind of a statistician on here to talk about this because it's just a constant misrepresentation of the reality. Here's another example. Just in, COVID-19 breakthrough cases have canceled tonight's performance of Aladdin on Broadway just one day after the show reopened for the first time in 18 months. Well, as she points out here, fully vaccinated cast and crew, fully vaccinated audience, and yet, what's the end game here, guys? What are we doing? It doesn't make sense. I mean, look, this is the same point I make. Like when you have a household of people who all get sick at the same time and all get hospitalized, which we've seen. That in and of itself, again, dispels the, you can't, that's a microcosm. You don't pretend that if their stats are correct, you would maybe get one person in the family that might get sick. And, oh, well, most of them are fine though. Not all of them. Cause that doesn't make sense to what they're arguing. Same thing here. How can we have the entire thing, the fully vaccinated crew, cast, audience, everything, and most of, and we have breakthroughs all over the place. It shows you that statistic doesn't make sense. But here's what probably happened, right? Oh man, I bet an unvax snuck in there. Yeah, that one unvax ruined the whole party. This is not a joke, by the way. People absolutely somehow believe that this safe and effective thing that keeps everyone safe would be broken by one person. Excuse me, I keep hitting my microphone. One person sneaking in who didn't have the injection and that ruined and everybody gets sick. Okay. So that means it doesn't work, guys. I can't even wrap my mind around how you pretend that one person could ruin every. So that means, by the way, just based on that logic, that means that the whole world will be at risk unless every single person everywhere gets all their shots, even the third boosters. How about everyone's up to date and then all of a sudden we need the booster? Oh, but that one guy way over there in Africa didn't get his booster. Now we're all screwed. This is just so stupid, but people buy it because they're taking their, they think they're being researched and they're doing their due diligence because they're listening to what the authorities are telling them to do. That's never been the smart move, ever. Now, as Lauren points out, as I've been saying, and this kind of brings us to the end of this point, which is exactly what we need to be thinking about. One potential outcome of relabeling those who are fully vaccinated and don't receive the booster as unvaccinated. Now, remember, it's not just, and that is happening now. Like now that the booster's happening. Now, again, on top of everything we just showed you, the booster adds another caveat to when you're no longer fully vaccinated, even though you have all the shots they're telling you to have. That's on top of the 14-day quasi-weird period there where you're fully injected yet not fully vaccinated. Very strange. But he's saying one of the outcomes of relabeling those who are actually fully vaccinated under their own definitions, except now no longer because of the booster, is that it will mean those people who are hospitalized or die from a breakthrough infection will be added to the unvaccinated data, which will be weaponized. Why is that contention? That's very, very obvious. Every possible political topic we've ever covered in our entire lifetime in some way has been manipulated by people in government, but not this time though, because freedom, because they care about us, or whatever nonsensical thing you want to say that you've been fed by the people in charge right now. It's obvious. And this brings us over to the natural immunity point. And to do so, I want to point out what Eric Fengelding said here. Natural immunity versus vaccines, which is stronger? Well, let's compare reinfection breakthroughs versus vaccine breakthroughs. Natural immunity, he says, is much weaker than vaccine protection. By how much? Huge! Vaccine is 9 times stronger. Okay, this is where he's going. Now, there's some obvious realities here that he is just willfully ignoring. The fact that vaccine breakthrough cases are not even being counted. Well, I'll read what I wrote here. This is willful. This willfully, and I do mean willfully, because this person, I mean, I who knows? These people can, just because they're people or scientists or doctors, I think today's showing us very clearly, it doesn't mean they're intelligent. Nonetheless, argument would be this person is intelligent based on their credentials and blah, blah, blah. And so my opinion is they know what they're ignoring right here. And I said this willfully ignores the obvious reality of the PCR test's high false positive rate when using the cycle threshold being used most everywhere in the United States. Most of those reinfections were likely in people who were first given a false positive, creating the illusion of reinfection breakthroughs. Is that possible? Nobody could argue that's not possible. So that means at the very least that it's some of them, as I've always argued, it's happening to what degree? We can have a conversation about that. Not them, though. That's not allowed. Fake news. Can't even talk about it. Except it's valid, and we know it's valid, but we can't talk about it, though. Right? Can't even acknowledge that's the reality or possible reality. Despite the fact that, as I've shown many times, Fauci himself admitted this reality.
Evolving into a bit of a standard that if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule. Mm.
Right. So right now, verifiably, most of this country uses 40 to 45 between those two numbers. I mean, put it more accurately on the nose, more like 37 to 40 something, but 45 is some of the ones I've seen places using up to 45 all over the place. Regardless, all of that is over 35, which is what he just said means it's not replication competent. So here we are using that cycle threshold now. That was in the middle of 2020. Fauci just casually admitted that. And here we are still doing that. So he is telling you that they're using something that gives you an illusion. But who cares, though? Don't even consider that obvious reality. It's an illusion of reinfection breakthroughs on top of other illusions we've been talking about for months and if not over a year now. I said that is if they even caught something the second time. Since this crowd simply refuses to acknowledge the obvious PCR false positive issue, as I just showed you, even Fauci admitted in 2020 that using over 35 is not replication competent. And yet, most of the U.S. verifiably uses 40 to 45 cycle threshold. On top of that, the CDC has been caught twice now lying about data around the very idea of vaccine breakthrough cases, using times when most were not even injected to represent times when most were, and Bloomberg exposing over 100,000 breakthrough cases still not admitted. Finally, how can anyone honest attempt to compare these concepts when the CDC has admitted that many states are not even counting breakthrough cases at all in regard to breakthrough cases after the injection? And each state, as they've also admitted, aggregates the data in their own way, using their own metrics. There's no guideline to this. And that's, by the way, very intentional, meaning we are 100% not seeing the full picture. But yeah, let's compare it and make it look like what we want to be the case is small. And you can see people below this just going to town about how, it's just, this is ridiculous. And it's also dangerous. This is what dangerous misinformation looks like. This is medical misinformation. But he's one of the experts leading the blue check charge, right? Well, let's prove to you yet again the reality of this. And not because I'm going to show you more studies that I've shown you 100 times over, but because I'm going to get into what the British Medical Journal has to say. Now, before we do that, let's listen to what they had to say, what I believe this was, what Fauci has to say on this topic before we jump into this. Because this is very obvious how he just completely ignores, again, what I said before was a solid question by this person from the USA Today.
First question, let's go to Liz Wise at USA Today.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I had a question, and this is for Dr. Fauci, because prior to vaccines being available, there'd been a lot of discussion about how in the U.S. We might reach herd immunity through natural infection.
It's a little low, so let me know if you can hear that, though. But this is actually crazy. So she just said, and this is what I'm saying, that before the injection, there was a lot of talk that we might even reach natural immunity, herd immunity, by natural infection. Like, the point is, we have these conversations, they were on the table, and now we act like it's fake news? Like, how can that even be possible? How can it be fake? I forget what the mainstream article was, the mainstream outlet, but remember the mainstream outlet that literally argued, like, the dangerous conspiracy theory that is natural immunity. How is that possible if we can, I mean, she just laid it out. They're lying to you. Now, watch how he responds. Let me finish her question.
Vaccines being available, there's been a lot of discussion about how in the U.S. We might reach herd immunity through natural infection. We have a Surgeon General in Florida who's a proponent of this. Given the high rates of COVID infection among the unvaccinated, shouldn't we have reached herd immunity in that population by now?
Now, that's a really great, think about this for a second. And this, again, this is what I mean by arguing from within their narrative, right? And she's almost doing the same thing. So she just said, well, given the fact that you're telling us that the unvaccinated are 99% of the problem, well, okay then. So they're being infected. So therefore they have natural immunity based on all the science we've been showing you. The WHO puts it at 90 to 99%. Lancet says, regardless of disease severity, you get lasting, durable T cell memory B and all of it. NIH says it's lasting durability. The NIH says that. Right? All of these I've shown you. Nature says it could last the rest of your life. Right? So how do we ignore that? Because there's a massive illusion taking place. But so she asked point blank, very clear. This is something we talked about before. You're telling us most of these people are infected. 6 months ago, you told us half the country was infected. So therefore, half of them are already in natural immunity area. And since then, you've been telling us it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. So, right? I mean, you can see how obvious that is. Watch how he answers.
You know, as I've said so many times, herd immunity is really a complicated issue of protection by vaccination and those who have continued and durable protection following infection. We do not know what that number is right now. Herd immunity is a concept, namely that most people, whatever that number is, and it varies from infection to infection. For measles, it's over 90%. You know when you are at herd immunity, when the virus doesn't have any opportunity to go from person to person. But right now, we don't know what that number is. And when you don't know what the number is, what do? You vaccinate as many people as you possibly can, as quickly and as expeditiously as you possibly can.
Right. Okay. So when we don't know, we just inject people. That's a great answer, Fauci. So we'd have no idea. So if you don't know what number it is, that means you don't even know if it'll be reached, if it's even there, right? So we'll just inject everybody until we know. That sounds scientific. I mean, it's absolutely baffling that this is his argument. And on top of that, we're ignoring the natural immunity, ignoring the fact that it's hurting people, that it's increasing problems. And that's my point. Again, these are injections based on the spike protein alone from the original strain that have nothing to do. They are not having an effect on the variants. That's all being shown right now. You know what does have an effect on the variants? Your natural immunity, as we've shown you many times, as highly regarded. Wait, that's right. Ultra. I was trying to remember the name of this. One of these highly regarded science.org telling you they identified 4 antibodies from people who got sick way in the beginning against 23 variants, including variants of concern. Now, as we're going to point out in the next part, antibodies are not everything. In fact, they're not even, that's only one part of this. And they try to make that argument to explain why natural immunity is not sound, except the problem is that every scientific publication is telling you that this is producing not just antibodies, but T-cell, memory B, CD8, T-cell, all the things we talked about. You know what the injection is not doing? Any of that. So it's almost like they're arguing on our side here, except they don't realize. But he is telling you, and when she asks about natural immunity, that all we need to do is reach a herd immunity number, which of course he quietly includes natural infection, but we don't know. But we do though, because even the NIH is telling you, again, within their narrative, that this is lasting. Like, as Justin's saying in the chat, right? It's all fake news because the virus isn't real, and that means natural immunity is not real. Okay, that is not the right thing to be saying right now, because I'm not claiming that this is the facts. These are the facts. What I'm saying is, this is what they're telling you, guys, Justin, everybody, right? They're saying this. Their scientific research from the places they're telling you to look at are telling you natural immunity is the best, whether or not it's real, whether viruses exist, and blah, blah, blah. They're saying that. Then swinging around over here and acting like it doesn't exist. That is an important thing to point to, look at, to pull out and show people who are still lost, which is our objective, right, guys? To find and reach those people that are still lost. Not just a high five about what we think we know, right? That's the important part, guys. Yes, my job is to inform all of you here as best I can and help you. And your job is hopefully to help me share this information or show me where I'm wrong. But our ultimate objective is to reach that person that is on the fence, right? That's what we're doing. I hope that's clear. I just want to point that out again. Now, going off of what it's saying here, arguing to you yet again that this is not, do we need to just inject everybody and keep that? Well, let's get into what the British Medical Journal has to say. Vaccinating people who have had COVID-19, why doesn't natural immunity count in the United States? It's pretty stupid. It's a ridiculous argument. Or excuse me, the fact that the question is even asked, why doesn't it count? Now, even if you believe in a different theory, if you believe in terrain theory versus germ theory, the argument is that historically speaking, this has always been on the table in regard to how this country regards health. So the fact that it just is suddenly fake news is just crazy. It really does show you how obviously they're lying to people. Now, before we get into this, important to see there's a correction. And what's strange to me is I almost feel like all the correction is, as you can see here, is it says the error occurred basically on the table that we'll show you in a moment. The original row listed 5 to 17, and it was supposed to be 0 to 17. And it has already been corrected. So it's correct on this version. But I think it's interesting that the fact that it's got this article correction thing probably makes people dismiss it, which maybe that's why. I don't know. Just a thought. Regardless, it has nothing to do with the content. It's about an error they had in this pop-up right here. And I'll show you. So it said 5 to 17 originally. It was supposed to say what it says now, just so that's clear. Now, this is the bulk of what we're going to talk about today, because I really want people to understand how important this is. That this is just yet another example of one of the most highly regarded scientific publications out there continuing to tell you what we're saying, even though we get censored as fake news, misinformation, and dangerous, you know, whatever they want to call it these days. The U.S. CDC estimates that SARS-CoV-2 has infected more than 100 million Americans. Now, remember, the CDC has said 160 back in the middle of this. Right, that was their estimate. I showed you that live on the show. The fact that it's kind of walking back that number, I find to be kind of laughable. But anyway, what they're now trying to argue is this is what they can prove. Right, so if you look up who's been infected and the PCR proven, even though, by the way, it's obvious that's not proven because the high speed false positives, but that's another conversation. That they're still telling you that it's 100 million. It's more than that based on everything they've shown you, but that's still a lot of people. And it says, and evidence is mounting that natural immunity is at least as protective of vaccination. Even they have to say it that way, which bothers me because that's an inaccurate way to acknowledge what the data says. It's not mounting that it's just as good. The data is mounting that it's wildly better. That's what their information has shown you, and I've gone over it 1,000 times on this show. Yet, public health leadership says everyone needs a vaccination. So Jennifer Block investigates. It says, when the vaccine rollout began in mid-December 2020, more than one quarter of Americans, 91 million, had been infected with SARS-CoV-2, according to the CDC. Now, this is where I pull in what their estimates as well. Their estimates are saying, well, there's a lot of people out there that didn't know they had it, that had what they claim were asymptomatic, which I don't agree with, or people that just didn't have a very serious case. They didn't go to the hospital, nobody got tested, and we know that exists to some degree. They said 160 million back in the middle of this. So it's clearly only gone up from there. And that's, again, what the USA Today person was also saying. But it says, according to the CDC, as of this May, that proportion has risen to more than a third of the population, including 44% of adults aged 18 to 59. 44%. Here, that's what this graph was right here, or this table. 37, almost 40% of people 0 to 17 were being told have previously had an infection. Almost 44 of 18 to 49. Right? So this is the group they're primarily focusing on. At the very least, you know, we're looking at close to half of them are already, supposedly, based on what they're telling us, have natural immunity. Why isn't that being considered? It's a good question. It says the substantial number of infections coupled with the increasing scientific evidence that natural immunity was durable led some medical observers to ask why natural immunity didn't seem to be factored into decisions about prioritizing vaccination. Now, the point to take away from that is in the beginning, right? So what they're saying is when this started, they already had scientific evidence suggesting that this was durable, and yet they just ignored that. That's not a hard thing to see, guys. You wouldn't ignore that. And they haven't in any historical situation of any kind of health topic. Yet, in a case where they're using a new experimental, massive nanobag, everything we've talked about, the injections and all the future and the platforms and all the, clearly they've been pushing for a long time. Now is their chance. Suddenly, natural immunity is a fake news conspiracy theory. That's a little self-serving, isn't it? It says, quote, many of us were saying, let's use the vaccine to save lives, not to vaccinate people already immune. The reason I wanted to share that is, guess who said that? Marty McCary, a professor of health policy and management at Johns Hopkins, right? The guy that Fox trots out to argue. Well, he's arguing right there that this, so that he's obviously, my opinion here is that this thing is, genuinely think it's not safe for pretty much anybody based on the long-term things that are suggested by the signals we're seeing. I can't argue I know what long-term will happen because we haven't gotten there yet. But based on the Vayer signals and everything else we'll touch on at the end, it's obvious there are clear risks here. And we don't know that. We don't know the long-term problems, and that's what's alarming. But here he is arguing that basically that this is going to help people. That we should give it to people who need it now, not people who are already immune. And that's the other point. The data very clearly shows you that you have no immunity from injection. Immune means resistant to a particular infection or toxin only to the presence of specific antibodies or sensitized white blood cells. Not temporary, resistant. Right? So this argument, this weird concept of like, oh, a little, you have immunity for 6 months. No, that's not how that's supposed to work. You're immune or you're not. So when you have people who are already immune, he's suggesting the injection right now, the mRNAs are giving immunity to people. How do you possibly back that up? None of the data seems to suggest that. But the point I wanted to make is that this is within the two-party illusion. It all errs on the side of, yes, the injection, but not all the way, or don't be forced, but eventually it ends up being injection, injection, injection. That's the four, and you have the false resistance, the false two-party paradigm. If you believe these, you know, Republicans or anybody right now are on your side, then you haven't been paying attention. Because it's going to flip-flop, and it's going to continue in the direction it's always been going in. The same thing happens with war, guys. One side, oh, no. Remember, the Democrats were, oh, we can't be in this. You're killing people. Yeah, who's pushing that now? Who's allowing those to continue now? One side of the false two-party paradigm. It says, still, the CDC instructed everyone, regardless of previous infection, to get fully vaccinated as soon as they were eligible. Natural immunity, quote, varies from person to person, they say, and experts do not yet know how long someone is protected, they said on their website, even though I've proven 10 times over that the data was very clearly listed and very clearly said the opposite. I don't know how many times I can show that, and yet still it somehow manages to not be anywhere, even in the independent media half the time. It says, as more U.S. employers, local governments, and educational institutions issue vaccine mandates to make no exception for those who have had COVID-19, oh, and by the way, every one of these things are sourced, right? All of these things are down here. I would be showing you these documents. By the way, most of these I've already shown you, which is the point. So it's a little redundant to go over these exact documents, but it's all right here, all of it. Back it up for yourself, look at it for yourself, do your due diligence, because even regardless of who's saying it, myself or anybody else, you should be doing that. Now, it says, oh, is that where we stopped right there? Yes, right here. Questions remain about this. It says, more employers, local governments, and educational institutions issue mandates that make no exception for people who have natural immunity, questions remain about the science and ethics of treating this group of people as equally vulnerable to the virus, or as equally threatening to those vulnerable to COVID-19, and to what extent politics has played a role. That's the focal point here. Now, I want you to realize what they're doing in this article, and they do a great job. They walk you through what is what they can prove. Then they list off what they're saying, and you can see the contrast. It's very clear. They don't even need to circle back and say, look, that's why they're wrong. An intelligent person can see very clearly that they are deceiving. It says, quote, starting from back in November, we've had a lot of really important studies that showed us that memory B cells and memory T cells were forming in response to natural infection, says Gandhi, one of these doctors we're referring to in here. Let's see. I think it lists him up here. Yeah, right. It's Monica Gandhi, an infectious disease specialist at University of California, San Francisco. Right. So one of these, you know, fake news, anti-science conspiracy theorists, right? It works, you know, it's just so funny how anybody, even though they're in this very, you know, I guess what would be the right thing to call that? Infectious disease specialist at San Francisco University of California. Obviously somebody who in other circumstances would be regarded as an expert, except now they're saying not the thing you're not supposed to say. So they're no longer considered an expert. That's how it works today. But it says, studies are also showing, she says, that many these memory cells will respond by producing antibodies. Guess what, guys? To the variants at hand. And that, again, is why I showed you this. Because if you have something, this study is showing you, that is producing antibodies as well as, this is the point what they're making here, as well as memory B, T cell, right? If you have this that is producing, that looks like you caught it back in the beginning. So this argument makes. And then you since have produced potent antibodies to the variants that popped up afterward. There's no way to misunderstand that. The next one you'll be protected from, just like the ones that popped up after or before, because that's how real immunity works. Except now they're trying to force you to take something that's based on original strain. It's not even, as we're told, even there anymore. It's Delta and so on. So this doctor, this specialist is telling you, based on the science that they're supposed to be trusting, that you will have antibodies to variants and continue to, as they're made, by the way, as the science previously showed you, because of the injected, because of what they're doing with the imperfect injections, that's what's causing the variants. So these are the doctors, the experts, the specialists telling you that they've had plenty of data showing you this and they just ignored it. Gandhi included a list of some 20 references on natural immunity to COVID in a long Twitter thread supporting the durability of both vaccine and infection-induced immunity. Quote, I stopped adding papers to it in December because it was getting so long. Here, you can read it for yourself. Now, most of this, by the way, is about natural-induced immunity. And there's a lot. And this is all from, I mean, as she says herself. I'm actually just going to close this. As she says herself. 20 references, at least, and plenty more added. All back then. All showing you what I'm saying. It says, but the studies kept coming. An NIH study from Loyola Institute for Immunology found, quote, durable immune responses in 95% of the 200 participants up to 8 months after infection. We showed you this, and the point was, they just stopped the study after 8 months. Right there in this study, if I'm remembering correctly, yes, that's the next one, right? So there's showing you that this is ended 8 months, and it only stops after 8 months. They say at least up to 8 months because they just ended the study. As far as I remember, there was no sign of it tapering off. But here we have another study, one of the largest to date, published in Science in February 2021, which we've also shown you, found that although antibodies declined over 8 months. In this one, guess what? Memory B cells increased over time, and the half-life of memory CD8 and CD4 T cells suggest a steady presence. So you have the NIH, WHO, Lancet, and Nature, and Science, by the way, and Science Mag, and Journal of Infection, all telling you that it lasts. That even if you see antibodies decline, we'll get into in a moment how even they're arguing that it looks like that's not really the most important part of what we're dealing with in regard to COVID-19. And they admit that as if an argument to make natural immunity not be there, except that is undermining the argument of the vaccine injection, because you're getting other types. In fact, the full picture of immunity from natural. It's pretty clear. It says real-world data have also been supportive. Several studies in Qatar, England, Israel, and the United States have found infection rates at equally low levels among people who are fully vaccinated and those who have previously had COVID-19. Now, that's an interesting point to think about, right? This could be indicative of a few things. One, we could always point out that, ever, as we've shown you in every possible angle, these studies can be manipulated. So are we actually seeing low levels of infection in the fully vaccinated? Or is this some kind of, you know, we have to ask that question. But on top of that, could it just be that we're watching something happen with the Delta, which we've told you and proven to you is just not that dangerous? It may spread faster, so they say, but it's not actually more dangerous. And all the real world data makes that very, very clear. So that could be what we're looking at. Regardless, the takeaway point is that low infection rates are at the very least the same as they're telling you, whether you're injected or not. How does that make it sound like the injection does anything? It's there's so much of this, it makes your head spin. Cleveland Clinic surveyed its more than 50,000 employees to compare four groups based on history of SARS-CoV-2 infection and vaccination status. Not one of over 1,300 unvaccinated employees who had been previously infected tested positive during the 5 months of the study. Not one. Researchers concluded that the cohort, quote, are unlikely to benefit from COVID-19 vaccination. Again, I've shown you at least three other studies that said the same exact thing. They're telling you, from one of these experts that the BMJ is citing, are telling you that based on their research, there is no benefit to get the injection. And remember, on top of that, other data shows you that not only there's no benefit, it increases your risk. These things matter. Now it says, going forward, in Israel, researchers accessed a database of the entire population to compare the efficacy of vaccination with previous infection and found nearly identical numbers. Why wasn't that reported? Our results question the need to vaccinate previously infected individuals, they concluded. Isn't that funny how they'll cite Israeli studies that make, the, you know, in the parts of them without showing you everything that's on them to make an argument for why you should do what they want you to do, but they leave out the full picture? Gee, that's called lying to you guys. That's called obfuscating the reality, lying with data. As COVID cases surged in Israel this summer, the Ministry of Health reported the numbers by immunity status. Between July 5th and August 3rd, just 1%. Of weekly new cases were in people who had previously had COVID-19. 1%. This is, again, very obvious. It's all happening in people who don't have natural immunity. And that's it. And of course, we're talking about a huge proportion then on top of that, that are people who are injected. Now, there's a category in there, I'm sure, that are people that have neither. But we don't really get to see that. There's not more. This is simply vaxxed, unvaxxed. And that's how you get it. And remember, unvaxxed includes people who've gotten at least one or two shots if they're within certain days. This is a gamed manipulation, and there's no way we get to see it until they, I mean, this is the point with everything. This is how they do it with foreign policy. They lie to you like this. And people who want to trust it are people who have an agenda there, right? Who it's personal, they have a self-interest in going along with the narrative for whatever reason, will continue to do so and call you crazy because it works for them. Because they're profitable, because their business thrives on walking this quasi-mainstream line, right? The data suggests that the recovered have better protection than people who were vaccinated. Can't miss that. The data suggests that the recovered have better protection than people who were vaccinated, right? So all they can continue to do is cite things like this and be like, well, but look at that. Look at those numbers about the fully vaccinated. And all that does is ignore what the specific scientific research has found in that regard. People who have recovered have better protection than people who are vaccinated. So we'll just ignore the science and point to manipulated stats coming from the CDC, who's already been caught lying multiple times. But as the Delta variant and rising case counts have the U.S. on edge, renewed vaccination incentives and mandates apply regardless of infection history. Right. So despite all of the science they're screaming to trust, except they're ignoring, they just run forward with what they want to do. It says the ire being directed at people who are unvaccinated is also indiscriminate and emanating from America's highest office. Biden left no room for those questioning the public health necessity or personal benefit of vaccinating people who have had COVID-19. Remember, he said, quote, we have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated. which by the way includes people who've had one, two shots, but, you know, don't think about that. So get vaccinated. He says, if you haven't, you're not nearly as smart as I said you were. Right. A person who can barely think past his own shoes. But yeah, you get to decide who's smart and who's not. The U.S. has no category for people who have been infected. How is that possible? Because they're hiding this data from you. Don't you think that factors in? We know natural immunity has been a conversation. At the very least, it's a relevant data point, but not to the U.S. government today. The CDC still recommends a full vaccination dose for everyone, which is now being mirrored in mandates. Right now, they're actually talking about fining big businesses like $700,000 if they don't force it on their employees without even asking these questions. A spokesperson told the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, that, quote, the immune response from vaccination is more predictable, they say. Oh, really? And that based on current evidence, false, antibody responses after infection vary widely by individual. You see how they're now pivoting over to the antibody. Those studies are ongoing to learn how much protection antibodies from infection may provide in long. Okay, that's the point, though. Antibodies, we've already shown you, whether or not they ebb and flow, are showing the rise and fall that memory T cell, memory B, are really the lasting part of this. Which, by the way, has always been sort of the point. Mucosal immunity is a big aspect of this, which the injections don't lead to. That's why they're spreading and they have this higher viral load and all the information we've talked about. None of this gets factored in. Like, again, just ask yourself why it makes sense that only vaxxed could do this and that while they're just as capable of spreading it with higher viral load in many cases, according to their own science. I mean, it's just silly. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But if they say the immune response from vaccination is more predictable, yet we're pointing to all their scientific research that says that this is lasting, and it's damn predictable. It seems like almost exactly the same across all these studies, except you know what varies? The outcome after injection. One person gets this, one person gets that. Some get there in the hospital. Some are 2 months later, they pass out. You know, all these different things all over the map. They claim immunity. Some don't. They need a booster. Yeah, that sounds predictable, doesn't it? Not at all. That sounds all over the map. But you see, all they're doing is it's giving you the inverse reality. This is my point. The British Medical Journal just read you what the experts are saying, what the specialists are saying. It's pretty damn clear. Why aren't we talking about it? And then the government of the U.S. comes out and says, but we don't know because it's not predictable. And why they just come out and say the opposite of the truth. You might as well just say that. Whatever you read, the truth is it's the opposite. Thank you. That's what they're doing. It says, in June, Peter Marks, director of the FDA's Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research, which regulates vaccines, went a step further and stated, quote, we do know, they say, that the immunity after vaccination is better than the immunity after natural infection. Isn't that funny? So these experts just told you the opposite. And by the way, pointed to the science that's saying that, and I've shown you countless studies. The only things I've seen that make this argument are from the FDA and from the CDC. You know, those groups that have been caught lying. No, sure, you should take their scientific research just like everything else. Look at it, dig into it, do your due diligence. But if we have a huge body of evidence from all the other outlets, Lancet, everybody, all the ones they're telling you to listen to, and the CDC comes out with something that says, nope, this is the truth, this one that counters all of that with really flimsy data to back it up, which we've shown you many times, that's the truth. Well, you should be skeptical about that. Everyone says it works better. History says it works better. And yet they're going to come out now and say, we know it works better because of this thing we showed you. It says in an email, the FDA spokesperson said Marx's comment was based on a laboratory study of the binding breadth of Moderna's vaccine-induced antibodies. Just the antibodies, and from Moderna information. The research did not measure any clinical outcomes. Great. Now, let me just ask yourself why the CDC would look at that as the one to point to, why the FDA would look at that as the one to point to and ignore the Lancet, Science Mag, WHO. If you're laughing, you should be, because it's ridiculous and it's obviously one-sided. Marx added, referring to antibodies, that, quote, generally the immunity after natural infection tends to wane after about 90 days. Does it now? Generally? What in the hell is he pointing to? I'm not going to pull them up again. I've showed you 1,000 times. All of them say the opposite. Every one of them. Nature, Science, The Lancet, WHO, every single one of them, even the NIH, say lasting, durable. And even they go to 8 months. because I keep showing you that studies ended after 8 months, not that they necessarily stopped after that. But 90 days, you know where 90 days does come into play? After the injection. 3 months, as we've shown you many times, even as St. Louis County government points out, means you're no longer vaccinated after that. Israel's already told you after 3 months it begins to wane. Well, where are they getting that from? No, general immune, natural immunity does not begin to, no, that's not the truth. And historically speaking, it lasts pretty much always the rest of your life, if not years. Well, now we're talking about something the other data backs up as well, but he'll just tell you the opposite. It appears from the literature that natural infection provides immunity, but that immunity is seemingly not as strong and may not be as long-lasting as the provided by the vaccine, Alfred Sommer, Dean Emeritus of Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School, has to say. Well, again, the experts just told you the opposite. The British Medical Journal is telling you the opposite. And all he's saying is, it seems there may be. Where's all this hypothetical coming from? I haven't seen the data that shows you what he's saying other than from the CDC, and we all have the data from multiple places that say the opposite of what he just said. It says, again, and this is the point, and this is why I love what the BMJ has been doing, but not everyone agrees with that interpretation. Exactly. And Mamoli here is Matthew Mamoli, director of the Laboratory of Infectious Disease Clinical Studies at the NIH. He says, or he highlights real-world data, such as the Cleveland Clinic study, and points out that while, quote, vaccines are focused on only that tiny portion of immunity that can be induced by the spike, because that's the truth. That's what all these, whether viral vector or not, mRNA or not, all they're doing is focusing on a tiny portion of immunity that is induced by the spike protein. Someone who has had COVID-19 was exposed to the whole virus, quote, which would likely offer a broader based immunity that would be more protective against variants. Well, you don't say. So let me understand, how in the world can these people be citing something when the NIH is telling you the opposite? The NIH, literally the group even above NIAID, which is Fauci's location within NIH, which then is under HHS. The point being, this is the director of the Laboratory of Infectious Diseases Clinical Studies at NIH telling you that if you get the injection, all you're getting is a small version of one thing producing antibodies to one spike of the original strain. Meanwhile, if you have natural immunity, as we keep showing you, well, you have antibodies against multiple variants, including the variants of concern. And everyone's telling you it lasts the rest of your life. Or a long time, at the very least. The laboratory study offered by the FDA, quote, only has to do with very specific antibodies to a very specific region of the virus, says the NIH expert. Quote, claiming this as data supporting that vaccines are better than natural immunity is short-sighted and demonstrates a lack of understanding of the complexity of immunity to respiratory viruses. This is why we get censored. I mean, what are the people out there that are calling us fake news? How in the world is this guy from NIH fake news, and how does that make sense? The reality is this is being kept from your view, and you only see it if you're smart enough to watch things that are challenging the narrative, whether my show or something else. The bottom line is there's no way that they would just simply ignore that this is even the case, because they would look at the title and say, I'm told to say fake news. I won't even look at it. And if they're told this is what's happening, you'd go, that can't be true, because that just can't be true, because that would challenge what I think. So you must be faking. You're not a doctor. You're not a scientist. How do you know it's true? You must be misunderstanding it. This is the kind of rhetoric we're hearing. I'd love to talk to Matthew Mamoli. Love to see what he has to say. I doubt that would happen. But he is telling you right here that the FDA spokesperson is short-sighted and demonstrates a lack of understanding of the complexity of immunity. The FDA spokesperson. That's the NIH expert telling you that. Now on to antibodies. It says much of the debate pivots on the importance of sustained antibody protection. In April, this is the debate, understand, not what we need. Because the debate is focusing in on the one thing they think they can give you. Or they tell you they can, which is the antibody to the spike protein of a strain that's no longer there, so they tell you, or not prevalent. It says, in April, Anthony Fauci told U.S. radio host Maria Hinojosa that people who have had COVID still need the booster, but because your antibodies will go sky high. except that all the experts we just read to you told you that that has no benefit. And in fact, this, the Journal of Infection is telling you that it will potentially increase your risk of something that Fauci's been trying to hide from the beginning, antibody-dependent enhancement. In vaccine trials, antibodies are higher in participants who were seropositive at baseline, meaning that they had previously been infected, than those who had not. Or just specifically what it means is giving a positive result in a test of blood serum, e.g. for the presence of a virus, right? So people who showed that presence, right? So they're telling you you have higher antibodies if you had been previously infected. Whether or not you got the injection, again, this brings us back to this point. If you're having 5 to 6 times lower antibodies because you got the injection, if you walked into that and got the injection with no natural immunity, then you would have, and again, well, I might as well play this again as I've played it many times in this context, because the injection is, we're being told, is removing the antibodies from your blood.
And your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus. But the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
Exactly. Right. So it wipes out the antibodies. And he's telling you this too. You have 5 to 6 times lower antibodies. I don't know how they can keep kicking this to the side like it's a fake news narrative. This is from the Daily Mail. This is on MSN right here. Right. And this is a scientist telling you this. You can see the guy. It's just ridiculous. He's telling you that the Pfizer injection lowers your antibodies. Right. So if you don't have natural immunity, based on what they're telling you in the narrative, that means that you're going to walk in, get the injection, and walk away with lower antibodies. But if you had natural immunity, which means you already have a high level of antibodies and all the rest of it, then you get the injection. Well, that's going to lower them, like we said before, but you will have higher than people who never started with any. Right. That's what we're staring at, in my opinion. I think that's very clear. That people who had a previous infection in the trial had higher antibodies because this is doing what we just pointed out. But it says former CDC director Tom Frieden, who we've seen screaming about things that are ridiculous, like today. I mean, I don't even want to talk about what I just shared today. Well, why not? Let's look at it real quick. Just because this is kind of humorous. I shared this right before I went live. And I really do think this is ridiculous. I mean, it's over the top ridiculous. He says, vaccine mandate, so forcing people to get an injection, right? Mandating that they have to get this regardless, and then removing their job, or, you know, having, what does the UNESCO document say is against international law? No consequence I'm blanking on it now. Repercussions, I don't know. Hold, you know, basically saying you can't do this or you can't do that unless you get this thing. That is against what the United Nations laid down for bioethics. But who cares about that, right? Vaccine mandates, he says, increase vaccination rates, well, of course, and reduce the spread of COVID. Well, you could argue a lot around that based on the fact this isn't even working or even affecting against producing the right things against the right strain. But it says this, but the save lives and they save lives and they're good for business. Right. So he's telling you vaccine mandates are good for business. And I just said, welcome to 1984. War is peace and ignorance is strength. Like, are we really going to pretend that doing this, reducing your how many people you can hire or have on, firing people that don't listen to you, and then turning away business is supposed to be good for business? That's just dumb. I mean, that is Orwellian, the opposite of the truth. It's ridiculous. But he says, Tom Frieden, quote, we don't know that antibody level is what determines protection. Yes. Exactly, Tom. That's exactly the point. What we do know is that the injection only gives you antibodies in regard to the spike protein, as again, the NIH and everybody else was just explaining to you. So if we don't know that antibody level is what determines protection, what would you choose? A thing that gives you only that or something that gives you all of it? Well, I would go for the all of it, because then you know at the very least you have everything you should need, and then you're covering all your bases. But no, forcing the injection, because we don't know. That's what science is all about. Telling you to do things based on hypothetical concerns about fear, right? Obviously today, and now Gandhi and others have been urging reporters away from antibodies as the defining metric of immunity. Exactly. It is accurate that your antibodies will go down after natural infection, she says. And that's over time, of course, that like she says, that's how the immune system works. If antibodies didn't clear from our bloodstream after we recover from a respiratory infection, our blood would be like thick as molasses. But here's the point. It's not just about the antibodies or the waning of them, as I've been dreaming about from the beginning of this conversation. It says, quote, the real memory in our immune system resides in the T and B cells, not in the antibodies themselves, says Patrick Whalen, a pediatric rheumatologist at University of California, Los Angeles. He points out that his sickest COVID patients in intensive care, including children with multi-system inflammatory syndrome, of course, because we're assuming that's COVID, have, quote, had loads of antibodies. So he's telling you these people that are currently sick in the hospital have all sorts of antibodies. So the question is, why didn't it protect them? Well, because it's not, these are people likely that got the injection. It's not giving you what you need. Antonio Bertoli, a professor of infectious disease at Duke NUS Medical School in Singapore, has conducted research that indicates T cells may be more important than antibodies. Comparing T-cell response in people with symptomatic versus asymptomatic COVID-19, Bertoli's team found them to be identical, suggesting that the severity of infection does not predict strength of resulting immunity, and that people with asymptomatic infections mount a highly functional virus-specific cellular immune response. Now, you know my thoughts on asymptomatic. There's a lot of caveats to the conversation, regardless of whether symptomatic or asymptomatic. What have we continued to show here? What have we continued to point out? I will grab one of these here. I want to show you the ones we're talking about in regard to T cells specifically. Oops, that's not right. Sorry. See, this is why I didn't want to grab them live. I do it every time though. So it's going to be under. That's right. Under immunity. Now, there's a bunch of these we pointed out. One, obviously, from The Lancet that I think is what they're actually referencing right here, that shows you from The Lancet that you have robust adaptive immune responses regardless of disease severity. Right there. It's pretty clear, right? But then the point is it goes on to talk about you get specific CD8 T-cell responses, right? That's what they're talking about. Not just antibodies, but CD8 T-cells. On top of that, we've shown you all the rest of them that continue to argue everything they're talking about here. That it's lasting. You get memory B, all of it, according to all the people we're supposed to trust. Now, it goes on to say, under already complicated rollout, while some argue that the pandemic strategy should not be one size fits all, what do you mean some? I mean, that's just a dumb argument to pretend that everything fits everybody all the time. That's the kind of model we're all being forced into all the time in politics today. And that natural immunity should count. Other public health experts say universal vaccination is more quantifiable, predictable, reliable, and feasible way to protect the population. Right, so it's easier for them to quantify, predict. So does that mean it's safer? More effective? Really? Like, these are the arguments? What's more quantifiable, predictable, reliable? How about safer and effective, right? Isn't that what you're screaming? Safe and effective! But we're not even factoring that in. Well, it's easier for us. We can count it better. So we'll just jam these in your arm. That's actually what they're actually saying here. It says, Frieden points out, and many people have assumed that they've been infected when they hadn't, and add to that false positive results, he says. Isn't that great? So I thought false positives were a fake news story, but I'm sure we'll use the narrative to argue from our side, right? Well, there's what about the false positives? We don't know. Yeah, exactly, Tom. That's what we've been saying from the beginning that you guys call us fake news for. I guess it only works when it suits your narrative like everything else. But assume that they've been infected and they hadn't. Again, it's these kind of argument. The illusion is out there. There's a whole level of this when they suit their agenda, they'll point to as COVID. But when they want to make sure that we undermine our argument, they go, well, they might not even have it. Yeah, man, exactly. Now it says Klausner, who is also a medical director of a U.S. testing and vaccine distribution company, says he initiated conversations about offering a finger prick antibody screen for people with suspected exposure before vaccination, which I'm not arguing. The point is, it should be your choice. You should not even have to go through this process. You should say, no, I don't want it regardless. But the point is that here's a doctor saying, well, we should at least check their, you know, give them a finger prick and check for antibodies before we give them an injection. But guess what? Everybody concluded it was just too complicated, right? Safer? Nah. More effective? Nah, you know, but just more too complicated. or I should, the reverse, arguably, you know, more, less safe, less effective. And who cares? It's just more complicated. Okay. It says, it goes on, it's a lot easier to put a shot in their arm, says Sommer. Quote, to do a PCR test or to do an antibody test and then to the process to process it and then to get the information to them and then to make them think about it. Oh, it's just a lot easier. Just give them the damn vaccine. Gee, I'm sorry we're making your job difficult, right? To God forbid you should prove things. Just give them the damn vaccine, for crying out loud. It's too difficult to go through our job. Seriously? So we're proving that natural infection, according to their narrative, is what is better, lasting, can have complications if you have, on and on and on. But just give them the injection. Who cares if it's working, if it's better, if it hurts them? Because tests and stuff, process, oh man. It should make you sick. I'll put them in the chat. Why is Ryan ignoring graphene? I'm not, in fact. I'm not. It's just so insulting that people, we've already gone over it quite strongly, and I've shown you many examples of how the evidence they're using to point at this is not started in a good place. The research is where the vials come from. We've already talked about all this. You can't prove these things. And by the way, in that argument, I also made the very clear statement that my opinion was that there is some validity to this argument, and that's why they started with this unsound narrative to make it look like it was fake. That was my feeling. But I guess you miss that when you assume I'm hiding things, right? Let's keep going. Now it says, quote, it's a lot easier to put a shot in their arm, says Sommer, to do a PCR test. Right. Let's just do the easy thing and force it in their arm. It goes on to say, but Klausner, Gandhi, and others raised the question of fairness for the millions of Americans who already have records of positive COVID test results. Just hide it, right? They're asking, why don't they include this? It says, for people who did not have a confirmed positive result but suspected previous infection, reliable antibody tests have been accessible, at least since April. Right? That's what these doctors are saying. Look, they're not, the doctors didn't have to do it. They're out there. They're publicly available. They're just ignoring that. It says, though in May, the FDA announced that antibody tests should not be used to evaluate a person's level of immunity or protection from COVID-19 at any time. Isn't that hilarious? So the CDC comes out and, or the FDA comes out and says, nope, just never look at it. We don't even want to know. Don't evaluate it at any time, at any location. How does that even make sense? I think we know why it makes sense. Now it says, logistics aside, a recognition of existing immunity would have fundamentally changed the target vaccination calculations and would also affect the calculations on boosters. So it says, quote, as we continued to put effort into vaccination and set targets, it became apparent to me that people were forgetting that herd immunity is formed by both natural immunity and vaccine immunity. All right, so these are the doctors telling you that they're just ignoring half of what they know has always been included in this conversation. They're just pretending it's not there. Why? Well, because it's just easier. It's just give them the damn vaccine, because you know what? We don't want to prove this stuff. We don't want to prove this stuff and give them tests and things like that. Just give them the, and by the way, let's not forget, this is an experimental version that has never been successful until now. And now suddenly we've got 30 of them going forward. Never succeeded until suddenly in the midst of an emergency, now we're making 30 of them. Because that totally lines up, right? It's easier because it's just easier. Gandhi thinks logistics is only part of the story. I agree with him. There's a very clear message out there that, okay, well, natural infection does not cause immunity, but it's still better to get vaccinated. Or does. But it's still better to get vaccinated. And as he points out, this expert, and that message is not based on data. She says, there's something political going on around that. Exactly. Now it says, early in the pandemic, the question of natural immunity was on the mind of Ezekiel Emanuel, a bioethicist at the University of Pennsylvania and senior fellow at the liberal think tank Center for American Progress, who later became a COVID advisor to Biden himself. He emailed Fauci before dawn on March 4, 2020. Within a few hours, Fauci wrote back, quote, you would assume that there would be substantial immunity after infection. And used the wrong there. That's funny to point out. But so here's Fauci in March 2020 suggesting what he's now pretending is not, you know, you would assume that there's substantial immunity after infection. And by the way, the scientific research has gone on to, in every possible way, back up what he's saying, including the experts from the NIH, including an NIH study, including the Nature, including Science Mag, including science itself, including the WHO, including the Lancet. All of them have backed up exactly that statement, from NAMRI-B to T-cell. And even Fauci said it back in 2020. So why now is he going the other direction? Because he's lying to you. That's why. Now, here's the point, as even the British Medical Journal is pointing out. Fauci said that before natural immunity started being promoted by Republican politicians. Oh, no. Fauci can't say what the Republicans are saying, because that makes sense, right? So now he's going to go the other direction. So is he making his calls based on science or politics? I think it's pretty clear. In May 2020, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul asserted that since he had already had the virus, he didn't need to wear a mask. And remember, this was a contentious argument for Fauci. So this clearly drove him away from arguing natural immunity, because Rand Paul, who was making him look like an idiot, because he was looking like an idiot, was making the argument that natural immunity was why he didn't have to. So he's been on, Paul's been the most vocal in Congress about that, arguing that his immunity exempted him from vaccination. Now, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson and Kentucky Representative Massey have also spoken out. And then there was President Trump, who tweeted in October that he'd recovered, and so he was now immune. And even then, remember, Twitter labeled it as misinformation. How is it misinformation, first of all, if they're arguing we don't know, which is what I keep laughing about? It can't be misinformation if you don't know either. We don't know, so now it's misinformation. That's sort of like saying the virus is unconfirmed, so it's all fake news. That's just self-serving and stupid. But now the data backs it up. And guess what? That's still censored, just like I keep telling you. Another polarizing factor may have been the Great Barrington Declaration we talked about, which argued for less restrictive pandemic strategy that would basically build herd immunity by natural infections for people who had the least amount of risk. Now, it says the memorandum they put out, written in response from people like Rochelle Walensky, who then went on to head the CDC, states, quote, "There is no evidence," she says, "for lasting protective immunity to SARS-CoV-2 following natural infection." None. Now, I can show you the NIH saying the opposite in July 2020. Lasting immunity. I've shown you this. I've shown you all these documents where they've come, even back then, showing you at the very least that there was evidence. Not proof, but there was all sorts of studies that pointed this out. In fact, not only that, there was evidence from just our general understanding, as Fauci said before this, that yes, you can assume, where was that again? You would assume that there would be substantial immunity. So if Fauci's assuming this in March, and then in October, she comes out and goes, "There's no evidence of that." Is she saying Fauci was wrong? No, they just know their talking point. They know what they're supposed to be saying now, that we don't know. We don't know. So that means fake news. That statement has a footnote to a study of people who have recovered from COVID-19 showing that blood antibody levels wane over time. So she's using an argument that because your antibodies wane, which they always do anyway, even though the other documentation shows you that they will produce for the rest of your life, but they will wane. Also, that's only one part of a full picture that you already have, all the science backs up. But because it wanes, we're going to go, there's no evidence that it lasts. Literally, that's not true. That's actually a flagrant lie, even on what she follows it up with. But then, of course, she also points to the study of 246 Kentuckians who we've already gone over and laughed about for how wildly subjective it is, and how you're picking out 246 people from a small location, and then the unvaccinated versus vaccinated illusion played a huge role in how they made that lie. And I already went over this all. Now, going over to the different risk-benefit analysis, Tom Frieden, it says for Frieden, vaccinating people who have already had COVID-19 is ultimately the most responsible policy right now. And remember that the experts from the NIH and from San Francisco University, all these different people from the British Medical Journal, within the British Medical Journal article we're reading, have already told you that's not true. Have already told you that there's an increased risk. Have already told you all the things we're talking about. But it says, quote from Tom Frieden, "There's no doubt the natural infection does provide significant immunity for many people, but we're operating in an environment of imperfect information. And in that environment, the precautionary principle applies. Better safe than sorry." Oh, okay. I see. So better safe than sorry when it's applying to natural immunity. The precautionary principle of imperfect information. But when it comes to the injection, same situation. We don't know for sure. We're still, but do it though. That one for sure, regardless. We don't know, but we'll give it. But in regard to natural immunity, we don't know. So let's not do it. Let's act like it's not there because we don't know for sure. But here's the injection. that this whole time we rushed out an emergency, but we're going to do that one though. Is that the precautionary principle? Is that looking at imperfect information and being better safe than sorry? No, it's the exact opposite. It's just mind-boggling how they can be such hypocrites on the face. And I don't even think people like Frieden are aware of it, like lacking self-awareness. In public health, it says, you are always dealing with some level of unknown. Yep, I agree with that. But the bottom line is you want to save lives. And you have to do what the present evidence, as weak as it is, suggests the strongest defense with the least amount of harm. Yeah, well, that would be natural immunity. That would be not injecting things in people's arms that literally don't need it. Literally have a 1 in a million chance of dying, according to Oxford and everybody they tell us to trust. That is what would be doing what the present evidence suggests is the strongest with the least amount of harm. But you see, they're giving you this as if we're supposed to just assume that means, well, therefore, this is what they're doing and it's the right thing. Nope. This is why the British Medical Journal is putting this out, because they're lying to you, or these people are too stupid to see that they're wrong. But says, others are less certain. Quote, if natural immunity is strongly protective, as the evidence to date suggests it is, again, anyway, I just can't stand how stupid that. My point when I keep saying this over and over is not that people can disagree, but the difference is you don't have the NIH or Tom Frieden saying, here's what they're saying, but here's why it's fake. They're acting like it's not even there and saying, there's no evidence to suggest this. There's nothing there. All we see is that we have weak evidence, and so we have to go with the injection. They're just presenting a false choice. But here are the experts saying, as the evidence to date suggests, natural immunity is strong and protective. It says then vaccinating people who have had COVID-19 would seem to offer nothing or very little to benefit, logically leaving only harms. Both the harms we already know about, as well as those still unknown. Exactly. That's according to Christine Stabel-Benn, vaccinologist and professor in global health at the University of Southern Denmark. Total expert in the context of mainstream, but not regarded as one if she says the fake news stuff, though, right? The harms that we know and the ones we don't know. Exactly. You can't benefits outweigh the risks if you don't know the benefits or the risks fully, right? You should not give the people who have previous infection a vaccine because you don't know what it will do. In fact, in a lot of cases, you do know what it will do based on the science they're telling you to trust. A large study in the UK and another that surveyed people internationally found that people with a history of SARS-CoV-2 infection experienced greater risks, greater rates of side effects after vaccination. We've shown, guys, all this is cited in the bottom. This is a huge UK study. We've shown you an Israeli study that said the same. I've shown you multiple studies that say the same. And all they go is, the CDC says no. Among 2,000 people who completed an online survey after vaccination, and yes, I'd point out when I pointed in either regard that this is a survey, it's observational, but it's backed up by all the other peer-reviewed science we've shown that says the same things. But it says they completed the survey about their vaccination. Those with a history of COVID-19 were 56% more likely to experience a severe side effect that required hospital care. Exactly. And this is what backs up again this point about why they're playing the game. Now it says, quote, most people who were previously ill with COVID-19 have antibodies against the spike protein. That's it though. Oh, excuse me. I was reading that wrong. Most people who were previously ill with COVID-19 have antibodies against the spike protein. If they are subsequently vaccinated, those antibodies and the products of the vaccine can form what are called immune complexes. He explains, which may get deposited in places like the joints, the meninges, and even kidneys, creating symptoms. Exactly. Now, the point was I was going to make before is that, the argument is being made here is that just in the context of the spike protein, you get the natural infection. Well, you're going to make antibodies to that on top of the rest of it we've already shown you, which is clear. But what they're saying is if you then get vaccinated, those specific antibodies for that spike protein, this is what this is saying right here. That's exactly what we're talking about. It's with an addition of have it being more obvious and specific to antibody-dependent enhancement if it's the Delta variant. But what they're telling you is that you get the natural infection, you get those spike protein antibodies can create symptoms in your body and problems in your body if you then get the injection. There's like 11 different ways it's being shown that this is a possible danger, guys. I don't know why. No, I mean, I do know why they ignore this. I don't know why other people out there who aren't in some political sphere are choosing to ignore this. Despite the extensive global spread of the virus, they say the previously infected population, quote, hasn't been studied well as a group. Yeah, I'm sure that's totally not an accident, right? Memoli says he is only also unaware of any studies examining the specific risks of vaccination for that group. They're not even care. Like, what he's saying here is not the ones we just pointed to, but like a study that's only setting out to find out whether there are risks in this context. The ones we pointed to before are sort of a byproduct. They have other studies they're doing and they end up finding a study that's result that's relevant. Like the Israeli study. Remember, it wasn't specifically about vax versus unvaxxed side effects. It was about, I forget the exact drive, but that was something they found that, and it became relevant. And that's why I was like, and they tried to keep it from the view or your view, not the view, your view. So what they're saying here, what Mamoli specifically is saying, is that they haven't done any studies that set out to find exactly that. Now, why would that be? Exactly like in the very beginning, and Del Bigtree can attest to this, of not this whole COVID thing, but long before it, they have actively tried to not do research about vaxxed versus unvaxxed in any context. And they haven't, as far as I can tell. Yet, you know who has? James Lyons-Weiler, IPAC. And I've shown you that study, and it's very damning, showing you obviously more hospital visits after injections for kids that have been injected, exponentially more. But they'll never show you that, and they'll call it fake news because it didn't go through their mainstream process, but it was peer-reviewed by other scientists. They just didn't get to look at it from the government's perspective. That means fake news, according to them. It also says, still, the U.S. public health messaging has been firm and consistent. Everybody's got to get injections. Now, it says, a lot of public health people have this notion that if the public is told that there's even the slightest bit of uncertainty about a vaccine, that they won't get it. Vaccine hesitancy. For Mamoli, this expert, this reflects a bygone paternalism. And remember, paternalism, like the exact definition, the policy or practice on the part of people in positions of authority, your government and elsewhere, you know, in obviously, you know, military, government, doctors, scientists, same kind of thing we're seeing today, scientism, people in authority, restricting your freedom and responsibilities based on their ability that they know what's best for you. And I kind of half started reading the definition. And the point is that they're like, we know what's best for you. You're too stupid to make your own decisions. As authority figures, we're going to step in and do it for you. That's what that ultimately means. It says, quote, I always think it's much better to be very clear and honest about what we do and don't know, what the risks and benefits are, and allow people to make decisions for themselves. This is why Mamoli is not being acted as an expert, even though she clearly is. They're telling you quite obviously. The way they're playing this game is manipulating the data, hiding the picture from you, and selling it to you as the opposite, and then rolling out all these experts that are willing to come out for whatever reason, whether ignorance or dishonesty, and just state the literal opposite. And remember, as they're telling you, they've been doing this from the beginning. They've already admitted in multiple contexts that they're going to hide the truth from you because it creates vaccine hesitancy. We just talked about the TikTok, the Division One golfer that is the whole next year he's lost because he got injected. The doctor told him it was because of the injection. He got that verified, and they still censored him. Even when he circled back and proved it to them, he was still censored. Why? They came back and admitted it was because this honest, truthful story makes people scared of the vaccine. And there it is, just like they're telling you, because they're trying to hide the truth. Couldn't be more clear. British Medical Journal, ladies and gentlemen, and here we are continuing down this path. Now, here is the Daily Mail saying top disease expert paints grim picture of Australia's future, saying we can't escape COVID lockdowns, even if 90% vaccinated, and reveals the must do changes need for masks and dining. Can you guess who this expert would be? You got it. Fangle Ding. He's warning Australia is headed for a perma lockdown, even if they go 90%. Oh, that's great. So why would we get it again then? Without these, we're heading for disaster. And of course, as they're pointing out, he's talking about premium masks. And the guy's joking. He sounds like Alex Jones flogging his supplements. I'm sure there's no benefit for it. Regardless, guys, this is crazy town. The way that he's arguing this stuff based on ignoring all the stuff we just showed you, I can promise you there's a self-interest in there. as Los Angeles moves toward completely barring unvaccinated across the board from most businesses. But it's still your choice, though, right, guys? Despite the fact that they have higher viral loads in a lot of cases, they can still spread it, they can still catch it. And we're already showing you that there's a weird manipulation of the data, which is hiding the fact that most of them are the ones that are getting sick right now. On top of that, natural immunity is being ignored. But who cares? Just bar them all. That's where we're going. Oh, whoops. How'd that get in there? Excuse me. That must have been a mistake. Well, for those on the podcast, there's a picture of Weinstein, you know, Mr. Famous Weinstein, next to, oh, that's crazy. All of a sudden, all I can think about is Brett because of the Dark Horse podcast. And I can't remember Harvey Weinstein next to Biden. And you know what the quote says? Let me stick this in you or you'll lose your job. Equally applies, doesn't it? Now, I'm sorry. It's a little crude for some of the families out there. I apologize for that. But this is too much of a relevant point. Why is it different? I really mean that. Why is it different? I'm sure people would argue there why they would think, but you know, at the end of the day, you're talking about somebody forcing something in you or you lose your job. Seems exactly the same to me. Now going forward, including those studies for you to look at and hopefully a lot more, well, I'll leave it to that. You've seen the natural immunity. Just if you want to search for natural immunity conversations on my website, just go to the website in the search bar and type in natural immunity. And there's a lot of them there. But bringing this over into the pregnancy discussion, still going and going back to their briefing to finish this off with the last two segments here. This is just unreal how they're continuing to make this argument. And not only am I going to show you yet again that the FDA still says they don't have enough data to make this argument, but here's the CDC literally making this argument. I'm going to show you what the CDC study says that they're pointing to when they claim it's safe and effective. So first, let's listen to this charlatan here explain to you this absolutely not backed up by the science argument.
Beth will come to you on the booster shot message.
Happy to. Thank you. We are fortunate now to have extraordinary safety data with all of these vaccines. We know that
extraordinary safety data, she says.
Pregnant women are at increased risk of severe disease, of hospitalization and ventilation. They're also at increased risk for adverse events to their baby. We now have.
So because they're at increased risk, this is their argument, right? This is the bulk of the argument. Because they're at increased risk, then we'll give them something that we assume has benefits. That we don't know the full risk because we haven't seen it or the benefits pan out, right? That's generally their argument.
Data that demonstrates that vaccines in whatever time in pregnancy or lactating that they're given are actually safe and effective and have no adverse events to mom or to baby. And we've actually seen that, in fact, some antibody from the vaccine traverses to the baby and, in fact, could potentially protect the baby.
Great. So the antibodies, by the way, that we just went over that aren't really having an effect on what we're dealing with. But yeah, who cares about that? Or an injection that's based on a strain that we're being told not even there and the data showing you that makes no blah, blah, blah. No, who cares about any of the facts or the fact that these might have natural immunity or any number of that? Or by the way, which would be passed on to the infant or the fetus. But again, who cares about that? Who cares about the data around natural immunity? Or the fact that would be passed on to the fetus, but then potentially could increase their risk as well. But who cares about any of that? It's safe and effective. It's all safe and effective with no adverse events, she says. No, I'm not kidding. She just said safe and effective. By the way, saying safe and effective and no events very quickly, which, by the way, screams dishonesty to me, just in my own personal perception. But here's the study that they're pointing to. This is what they link. This is what they list on their data and from making this argument while pregnant or breastfeeding. By the way, from August 11th, here's the point. Evidence about the safety and effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccination during pregnancy, although limited, has been growing. Seriously? Okay. I mean, we're just starting. It says these data suggest that the benefits of receiving a COVID vaccine outweigh any known or potential risks of during pregnancy. Okay. How in the world does that translate to safe and effective? Let's listen again.
Our safety safety data with all of these vaccines. We know that pregnant women are at increased risk of severe disease, of hospitalization and ventilation. They're also at increased risk for adverse events to their baby. We now have data that demonstrates that, that vaccines in whatever time in pregnancy or lactating that they're given are actually safe and effective and have no adverse events.
No adverse events. None? What is it? How do you even make that argument? What about myocarditis? What about everything else? You just admitted all these are possible, but now there's none? This is as stupid as arguing 100% effectiveness. This is dumb. And I don't know why honest people are buying this. Even people that are within the narrative, like that are people that buy what they're saying. Where are all the doctors, statisticians, and scientists out there that are going to go, well, that's stupid. Zero? That doesn't happen. Right. As someone in the chat is saying, that's not what Veyers has to say. Thousands of miscarriages reported, but we don't know for sure. So therefore fake news. So we don't know for sure. So we'll claim zero. You can't do that. If you don't know, you don't know. You don't just get to go, we're going to refuse to ever look into that and claim zero. It's just so damn dishonest. I just love this first line. Evidence about the safety and effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccination during pregnancy, although limited, has been growing. And that means safe and effective to the CDC. Yeah, that speaks volumes. Now it says no safety concerns were found in animal studies. Now let me ask you this. These studies only on pregnancy were rushed and done after the fact. And why weren't they done in the beginning? Or, you know, I mean, there's an obvious weirdness there that the way that these were gamed on top of that is another discussion, but we've already covered that. As I think Highwire and even RFK have pointed out in articles, they rushed through this and it's totally unsound, but different. There's a lot to get into there. The main point for me is that animal studies were not done before they started testing some people in the real world. And that's why they kept antibody dependent enhancement hidden from you, because that's where you would have found it. Now it says no adverse pregnancy related outcomes occurred in previous clinical trials. False. That used the same vaccine platform as J&J and COVID-19. And that is how, and as the J&J COVID-19 vaccine, probably how they're manipulating that outcome. But at the end of the day, I've already shown you their own study from Pfizer at the very least that points out almost a 10% reduction in reproductivity in female rats. Talked about all sorts of weird variations in the way their skeletal outcomes were with warped ribs and wavy ribs. These are outcomes that matter. But they point out in that study that say if it's an under 20 or over 25%, or under a 25% reduction, then it's not statistically reportable. As they're concerned, don't you think a 10% reduction in fertility, reproductivity matters to a woman? But because it's not 25% reduction, it's not worth reporting. That's what it said in the article. I've shown you many times. COVID-19 vaccines do not cause infection. Excuse me? That's literally false. We've already seen how this has led to this. Yes, you can call it rare and uncommon, but then you can't argue that they don't do that. They've literally created infections. They've literally led to this. I mean, I can show you in Veyers. I actually had it outlined, but I was going to take too much time. A waterfall of infections, of people that got these infections in their eyes, in their mouth. And then they went to the hospital. They said, oh, it looks like pink eye. And they said, oh, now my other eye. They came back and they go, oh, no, excuse me, I was wrong. It's an infection brought on by the injection. But here they are just blatantly lying to you because pregnant women. Early data on the safety of receiving an mRNA COVID vaccine during pregnancy are reassuring. Reassuring. Does that mean safe and effective? No, that means our early preliminary data is reassuring, but we're not sure yet. It says CDC released the first U.S. data on the safety of receiving an mRNA COVID injection during pregnancy. The first data from a limited trial during a pandemic, and we're screaming safe and effective when that's not even what this says. The report analyzed data from three safety monitoring systems in place to gather information. Can you guess what those safety systems were? You guessed it. Veyers. V-Safe. You should laugh out loud right now. Right? The very system they're going, we don't know, it's unreportable, it's very unverified, it's all fake news, overwhelmed with fake news. Okay, but meanwhile, we've already used that system to deem where the risk was for pregnant women. So they're dismissing the system as in regard to breakthrough cases and vaccine side effects, but they can use that simultaneously use that system to decide whether it was dangerous for pregnant women. Yeah, that's dumb because it's either unverifiable and it's not, or it's fake news, or it works and you're using it to dictate and decide the risk. We're going to finish with this, but just to show you quick, again, safety signals for COVID vaccines are loud and clear. Why is nobody listening? They are not looking at these signals, except they're arguing that they did, though, in regard to pregnant women, but they didn't see any. That's a lie. The reports in Veyers are through the roof. And that includes reproductivity. That includes miscarriages. That includes stillbirths and miscarriages and on and on. Just look at the Defender. They've been covering this for a long time. Goes on to say, these early data did not find any safety concerns for pregnant people who were vaccinated or their babies. Seriously, they say that we didn't find anything. Not a single one. Zero, she says. Thousands have been reported in Veyers. And the fact is they have not even investigated all these. That's a fact. They've admitted to this in a lot of different ways. I can show you the women that are out there with, like, pointing to their crippled son saying, you know, he'll never walk again. After the injection, nobody's responded to us. But yeah, let's pretend like they took the time to research every one of these miscarriages and have all deemed somehow magically that they weren't vaccine connected. Now ask yourself this. If they're telling you it's almost impossible to prove when a vaccine is the cause, which is what they'll tell you when they want to undermine whether it's the risk or not, yet somehow they've already been able to disprove all of these in that same time period. Yeah, that's called a contradiction. Another report looked at pregnant people enrolled in the VSafe registry who were vaccinated before 20 weeks of pregnancy. Guess what, though? Scientists did not find an increased risk for miscarriage among people who received them. Yeah, I'm sure. Except that there's lots of reports for that. So they're claiming they've dismissed those, ignored them, deemed them fake news. We'll never get to find out. Many pregnancies reported in these safety monitoring systems are ongoing. CDC will continue to follow these. Okay, so part of them haven't even fleshed out yet. So we're still finding out. You know what that means? We don't know. Right. But according to Walensky, it's safe and effective. No adverse events. Now, on top of that, I've shown you many times. This is the most recent update. As of September 22nd, you realize this data is from August 11th. Here is the FDA on September 22nd telling you available data on this injection administered to pregnant women are insufficient to inform the risks. We don't know the risks. You're being lied to. Here it is again in the same document. They list it twice. Oh, excuse me. This is the other one. This is the that they list it twice on in regard to the crossover for other vaccines. Also important, though, as I've shown you many times, that they're now pushing the flu shot on you again, despite the fact that the previous, before all this, the Pentagon study showed you that the flu shot increased your risk of infection and other coronaviruses by 39%. But let's pretend like it had nothing to do with anything we're dealing with. Now they're doing it again, even though they're telling you that we don't know the risks of that, just like pregnancy. It couldn't be more clear, guys. And oh, here on lactation, same point. Data are not available to assess the effects on breastfeeding an infant or milk production. Isn't it funny that she lists both of those things as telling you safe and effective? Because pregnant people are going to listen to her, which means she is culpable for their deaths and destruction and everything that happens to them. It's on you. They don't care. These people are sociopaths or wildly ignorant to claim what she just claimed while pointing at this document, even though it literally doesn't say that. Now, Kaiser doctor explains why pregnant women should get the COVID vaccine. The vaccine does not cause infertility. It does not cause miscarriage. Well, you know why they're saying that? Well, because the CDC told them they could. Because Rachel Walensky said that. So now the doctors go, oh, so my research is done because experts said, so therefore I have to say too. That's called being an expert doctor. I'm not dismissing all doctors like that. Trust me, I know a lot of them that are far too smart to fall into that trap. But that's what a lot of doctors have been trained to do. A lot of people on Twitter have been trained to do, to think that listening to experts is being a smart person. It's not. It's in fact really, really stupid to blindly trust anybody, experts or otherwise. But it says, the CDC has issued an urgent warning for pregnant women. Every one of them should get injected, even though there is no evidence to inform whether it's dangerous. Now, it says the guidance on Wednesday comes as more than 125,000 laboratory-confirmed COVID cases have been reported. Exactly. Pregnant women are getting sick. 22,000 are hospitalized. Okay, just because you want to claim they're sick and we'll assume that's from COVID, even though that's likely not the case for most of them, based on false positives and flu and pneumonia and PCR, everything else we could talk about. Just because you're claiming they're sick does not therefore mean that it's safe to get the injection. That's the thing they keep doing. Benefits outweigh the risk, emergency use authorization. That's how they play this game. They say only 31% of pregnant women have been vaccinated. Yeah, because there's a danger there that you haven't proven. Meanwhile, experts say that being pregnant and taking care of a newborn, that can be stressful. Oh no, you don't want to be pregnant and have to get, like, yeah, these are all sidesteps from, is it safe? Do we have the data to prove that it's not dangerous for the baby? They don't. But because there's risk that we'll scream about, we're going to argue and tell you, literally and tell you, that you should do it. Why you should get the injection. These people should lose their jobs. It bothers me. And don't forget, again, that when you do this, it reduces your antibodies. It reduces your antibodies.
Vaccine. Those who've had two doses have about 5 to 6. We found that recipients of the Pfizer vaccine, those who've had two doses, have about 5 to 6-fold lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies. Now, these are the sort of gold standard.
Right. 5 to 6 times lower. So why again are you telling them to have to do it? Right. Oh, that's right. Because the antibodies will transfer possibly to their fetus. Oh, but you didn't mention that it reduces their antibodies. It removes their antibodies. You didn't mention that if you've already had the natural infection, that you might actually get more sick and that would hurt your baby. You didn't mention that it has no effect if you've had all these things. Who cares about these things? Just do it because vaccine good. Right. That's where we are. Ignoring all the dangers, right? The loud signals that we're seeing that are going to possibly apply both to the fetus and the mother. Myocarditis. All of this stuff is outrageous. And as they point out in here, as I've said many times, there are 91 times the number of deaths and 276 times the number of coagulopathy events, coagulation reported after COVID-19 vaccination than after flu vaccines. I mean, this graph is not inaccurate. This is the number total during COVID-19. It is more than every single year combined since this started. And down here, the one point I want to make before we finish off here, and by the way, read this article because they're making all the points we've continued to make and backing it up with the data, as they should. We've shown you this slide showing you how crazy over the top this number is. 18 to 24-year-olds, this is myocarditis. They expected one. Remember in the beginning when they go, well, wait, no, it's not more than what would normally be expected. Well, yeah, that's why they're quietly not to be, they're making sure not to make that argument anymore, because here we're looking at myocarditis. They expected 1 to 11 cases between 18 and 24 year olds, and they found 213. That's crazy. That's that, like a, two, like a, what is it, 2,000 times? I mean, that's crazy. That's why they're not pointing at it. But you keep going. Look at 40 to 49. They expected 20. They had more than a doubling, a more than 100% increase in myocarditis cases, and even non-serious cases can increase your mortality by 26 to 56% over the next 10 years, according to NIH science. Non-serious cases. Yeah, but benefits outweigh the risks, right? Here's what they say. The first thing to notice is that for every type of adverse event for every age group, there were more reported per million doses of COVID-19 vaccines for than flu. There were more reports per million doses of COVID-19 vaccines than for flu. If you look at the bottom row for all age groups, 12 and older, this one up here, I think. Yeah. You see that for every million vaccine doses administered, there were 19 times more reports to VAERS for COVID-19 vaccines for flu than for flu vaccines, 28 times more serious events, 91 times more deaths, 3 times more reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome, 276 times more reports of coagulopathy, and 126, and this is why I kept this in here, 126 times many reports of myocardial infarction. Interesting. Yeah, infarction. That's an interesting word. Obstruction of the blood supply to an organ or region of the tissue. It says, and 136 times more reports of myopericarditis, which we just talked about. That was really the main, these last two. It's undeniable how obvious this is. Now, and we've already, here's the crazy part. These are coming from Bayer's, which they go, oh, we don't know for sure, unconfirmed. But the CDC just admitted this exact same correlation. They just admitted the dramatic increase of what they expect. Your risk is obvious, even up to 49 years old. And I would argue well over that if you actually factor in everything else. But just talking about the issues of the heart, heart attacks, blood clots, the same kind of thing we're talking about here. It's obvious. And all they can do is hide that data from you and force it on children, force it on pregnant women, keep natural immunity out of the conversation and continue to force this on everybody around them and then hide things like this. This is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. This is like pretending that this outbreak of mystery brain diseases while we're pointing at prion's disease is just totally unaccountable. This is not the Onion. This is not the Babylon Bee. That is from the Times. Mystery rise in heart attacks from blocked arteries. Gee, what could possibly be causing that? What could possibly be out there that could be leading to something that we're seeing all over the place and been proven to cause this and been backed up by multiple scientific studies? Obviously the injection, and why that's not a factor in this article, why that's not being considered, why we're not even going, hey, maybe it's the new thing that's being forced on everybody. Nope, it's a mystery. God, who could possibly factor, and get this, guys, I love this. Health experts have been baffled by a rise in this very clear thing in Scotland. Yeah, maybe it's the dramatic increase in things like myocarditis and pericarditis, or, you know, blood clots in, you know, vaccine-induced thrombosis, thrombocytopenia, and all the things that are very clearly causing things just like this. You know, the heart attacks of the you know, all the athletes dropping on the sidelines and on the fields. And yeah, it's all just a random coincidence that perfectly correlates with the increased administration of this thing that leads to exactly this problem, but we won't connect because it's just the way it goes. It's sickening to me how obvious this is. And whether they ever circle back and I hope that there's accountability for how stupidly clear this is. I really am. I really do. I hope. Oh, and the point was, guys, Scotland, yeah, has a 70.4% full vaccination rate. Meaning there's far, far more people, if not all, who've got one dose. Remember that. That's why I noticed they removed that, because they used to have they had that category. 70%, probably 80-90% of one. And that's where we're talking about, specifically West Scotland, that's having this weird rise in heart attacks. I think we know what's going on, guys. But as always, I'm not saying I know for sure. I wouldn't argue that because I don't know for sure. But the correlation, and it's not correlation, not causation, but correlation clearly matters in making your assessments. And at the very least, if we're pointing to something that leads to this effect, and they've admitted that it can cause this, even to the point where we're admitting a dramatic increase in lots of ages around the heart issue specifically, and then you're not even willing to go, could it be the injection? I mean, that just shows you everything you need to see. That's a willful disregard for what could be, in my opinion, is causing that. But as always, come to your own conclusions. Do your due diligence. Think for yourself. And most importantly, I give you my opinions. I always do. I don't think I'm capable of not, but I will always give you the data to do it for yourself. Oh, I'm glad I just thought of that before I leave today. There's been a lot going on, and I know I've still been keeping pretty close to 4 to 5 shows a week. One thing I'm going to try to do is get more shows out, and we just because. But on top of that, I'm also noting how different the lighting is here versus the office. The office is way better. I am really lagging on getting the links to you right away. So tonight I'm going to do it right when I'm done, which is what I tried to do. But a lot of times it's late and it ends up being the next day and then I forget again and it's 2 days. And I apologize for that, because the whole point is giving you guys the tools to be able to look at this, especially if you disagree with me. That's what I hope, is that people that disagree with me dive into the source material and actually look at it, not just looking for ways to debunk things, right? Actually read it and think about it, critically analyze it. So I'm going to be better at that. There's a lot going on, but it's just every day. Be better. It's all we can do, right? So thank you for being here and continuing to fight for this truth, guys, because they're doing everything they can. in every possible way to keep the absolutely verifiable information from the view of the very people that they're trying to force this on. So, you know, you are the front lines out there, guys. You are the freedom fighters. Go out there and get this stuff and put it in front of those that need to see it. I mean, honestly, share the show, share the link. Obviously, that's important. But the most important thing is really just to get that link, the data in front of that person. Show the pregnant woman that her risk is clear. And, you know, probably a good way to do it is take one of Star's clips of that one part and say, here, just watch this. And then here's the source material. You know, get it in front of them. But I love you all. Thank you for being here. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.